The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank y'all for tuning in. You're listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. This is the first episode of the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios, sponsored by Two Pilots Distillery. I am super happy today to have the Raising Grace ladies with me, Miss Lacey, Taylor, Olivia, and Tori. We are going to kind of let you get an insight to what we do here at Raising Grace Studios, and you get a chance to know the girls today. I've had the privilege of drinking and hanging out and going to dinner and setting up shop with these ladies, and I'm just blessed to have them with me, and I think y'all are going to fucking love them. Ladies, y'all say hey.
Hey!
They sound and look as good as they sound, folks. I mean, they're cool. We got four here with us today, and Miss Bree couldn't be with us, but it's okay. We got some stars. She's a star. Everybody's going to be good together. I want to get it started off by introducing Miss Lacey. Lacey came in, and she was obviously not a sales rep. She was going to suck. Like, she was going to be shit at selling anything, and she started opening up to me about kind of her past and how artistic and different she was. And I was like, you know what? We need this girl. We need this girl to help us with a whole lot of stuff. And Lacey, tell them about yourself.
Hey, I'm Lacey.
You got to get closer to the mic. I don't have to edit that out, but it's growing pains. It's okay. Just talk. Tell them about yourself.
I am 20. I am going to college full time for a bachelor's in marketing management. I bought a house a year and a half ago. I'm not from Georgia. I hate it here. Yeah,
she's a northerner.
She's from Oregon. You're being from Oregon.
It doesn't matter.
I like the cold. It's freaking hot here.
No one likes the cold.
Yeah, I love the cold.
Unless it's 65 in my house, that's the only reason.
No. I'm talking like 35 degrees outside. I want to go outside in shorts and t-shirt, and I want to go hang out. Like, that's how it is.
Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. You can always put on clothes, but you can't take
seriously.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
There's nothing wrong with that. And then to her side is Miss Taylor. Miss Taylor is a firefighter and EMT. Husband, I met her because her husband's a vet. And tell them a little about yourself.
Hey, y'all. My name is Taylor Robertson Dixon. I am newly married. And like Josh said, my husband is a veteran. He was in the United States Marine Corps. He did two combat tours in Afghanistan. I have been a firefighter for 4 years. I just graduated EMT school with my basic. I am currently in advanced school and hope to go on to be a paramedic. And I am so excited to be a part of Raising Grace.
And we're excited to have you. You and your husband are both going to be great assets to us, and look very much forward to having y'all with us. And this next one right here, we're going to call her O because she makes everybody say, oh, damn. I met her at a bar, and she definitely stood out. And when I was hiring people, definitely knew I had to get in contact with her and see if she wanted to work for us, because I believe she can sell fire in hell, to be honest with you, if she does it the right way. And tell them a little about yourself, darling.
I'm always down for a good time on everything I love. I am 26. I have two beautiful fucking babies. A horrible past, but I am who I am because
our past makes us what we are, though.
Exactly what it is. But if you ever want to have a good time, you know, you talk about anything, I am here.
She's definitely a good time. And this next one, she walked in the studio, and I was like, you know what? If I don't hire her, I'm hitting on her. And then I took all the girls out the other night, and this one's outfit. If you wasn't around us, you were chasing her around like a puppy dog. Like, it was, she shouldn't have wore that in public. But Miss Tori, tell them about yourself, darling.
I am Tori. I am from Hawkinsville, Georgia. Go Red Devils.
No one gives a shit. There's not anyone listening to this podcast right now outside of Middle Georgia that even knows what the hell you're talking about.
But we won the championship in 2015 when I graduated.
What year is it?
2015.
What year is it?
2020, the worst year in the world.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Oh, no, it's shitty.
Now it's not that bad. But, yeah, I have two beautiful boys, Blake and Lucas. They look identical to me. They're my whole entire world. I've been through a lot, but I'm actually ready to move on with my life. I had
Amen.
A crazy, crazy baby daddy. If y'all want to hear any stories.
No, no, that's what we're going to get into that, because today, one thing that we're going to do with this podcast, and everybody's listening right now, is we're going to give them a chance to get to know y'all. Why they should love y'all, why they should hate y'all, why they should have any fucking thing to do with y'all. And you're weird, you're married, you two just look like you're going to ruin somebody's fucking lives before the end of the day. And you know what? It's going to be fun, and I cannot wait for everybody to get a chance to get to know y'all. And the one I want to start with, because I heard this stupid-ass story the other day. While all the girls were in the fucking hall, while I was in the hall and they was in the lobby, they were talking about their baby daddies. I'm a fucking baby daddy. And I hope my baby mama ain't never got a damn story to tell like what I heard. I ain't trying to put you on the spot, Tori. But you got to tell them about that Christmas and that damn tree. And all the bullshit that I heard the other day, because it was fucking fabulous.
Please tell me. Okay. Please.
All right. So me and my baby daddy got in an argument. It was like in the middle of the night. So all of a sudden, I'm like sleeping in bed. He like snatches the covers off, starts a whole argument. I like run to my car, get in my car, crank it up. And all of a sudden, here he comes out the front door with a freaking Christmas tree. Throws it. Windshield.
Wait, like a Christmas tree.
Like an actual
whole
tree?
Whole Christmas tree, girl.
Like meat, like little, big.
It's like maybe. It's like,
on this bitch? Like, please tell me.
It's like maybe 5'5".
So
it's like our height. But like, he throws it at my windshield. And I'm over here, like, trying to drive down the driveway with my head hanging out the fucking window. Like, trying to drive down the driveway. And all of a sudden, I hear thump, 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 and he's tossing like reindeer at my freaking back of my car.
Like ornaments, reindeer?
Ornaments.
Like 12 days of Christmas are fucking
like
hitting the Honda.
12 days of Christmas.
25
if you want to call it. But like, yeah, like he was just throwing it at my freaking back of my car, and I'm over here like speeding down the driveway, and then all of a sudden like I try to like slam on brakes to try to like throw the Christmas tree off, and it doesn't go nowhere. So I'm like climbing out of my car trying to get it off, and I'm like shove it off my car and like throw it back onto the highway.
What
like,
did he see on your phone to make him go that crazy?
Oh my goodness.
What
gracious.
Did all right, so we always gonna tell two sides of the story here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you have something on your phone that would make him go ape shit like that?
Well, see, this is the thing. He would cheat all the time, but as soon as he saw anybody liked my picture or anybody that he didn't associate with liked my picture or anything, he would just go crazy.
It's insecurities. Oh, no.
So
the guilty
insecurities.
Dog
yeah. Yeah, insecurities. Literally, like, somebody liked my picture or whatever, and all of a sudden, he just, like, thought I was sleeping with him for, like, ever. So,
but
yeah,
were
like,
you?
Crazy. No. That's the thing.
So, the person thankful. You got accused of for the Christmas tree getting thrown at your ass,
yeah.
You had nothing to do with.
This dude was psycho.
You should have fucked him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean like your picture that day. I knew better.
Listen,
I knew better.
Excuse me, baby. I'm gonna show you.
Damn.
Listen. See, that's how I am, though. If you are gonna constantly accuse me of something, whatever you accuse me of, I'm gonna fucking do it.
I'm gonna go do the it. Guilty dog barks first. Like yeah. You are doing something fucked up.
If you're gonna be like,
it's on your conscience.
Yeah. If you're gonna be like, you're banging her. I'm like, you know what? If I'm gonna get in trouble for it,
I
might as well
do
fucking do it.
Thank you.
Like,
thank
you. Yes. If all I'm doing is thinking about it. Fuck that shit. You getting a slap on the ass. We having a good ride.
Listen,
from there.
I was like, thinking about it. You put it in my head.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to go do it.
And then as a man, you start thinking about like, well, damn, this bitch is liking my pictures. Does she like me? Like, see, y'all don't think about that from another perspective. If we don't see it as that, and we just see it as somebody liking our picture, but then all of a sudden, you put it in our head that, hey, that girl's heart in your pictures. But she likes your pictures. And then you're like, oh, I can get this shit now. Like, I didn't think I could before, but you get, like, now I got the yellow brick road to that ass.
But it depends on the reaction.
Yellow brick road to that ass. Dude, I want that on a shirt.
Right? You like her love it. Either you like it because you like the background of that shit. I think you just look cute in that fucking outfit.
Who the hell has ever liked a picture because of the background?
Me.
No one.
Me.
No. What background did you like on the damn picture?
I personally liked a picture.
Listen, I posted a bikini picture with a sunflower.
Yes.
Nobody was looking at that sunflower. They were looking at that ass.
Nobody has seen that sunflower yet.
They were asking me, so where did you get that sunflower shotgun from? It was in my bathroom.
They weren't interested in that sunflower.
They didn't like your sunflower. They did not like your... They didn't know you had sunflower.
You just threw my ego way the fuck down.
Because that's what...
Damn.
They, no, it should have boosted it the fuck up.
They
was fixing to go buy you a new shower curtain just so you take another fucking picture.
They were going to go buy you a new one with a freaking, like, you know, one of the dream
But listen,
testers.
The point is to call me on fucking sunflower. Because
you're a dream.
It's me. It was you.
It was the bikini.
Not a fucking shower curtain.
Right.
Oh, in all fairness to the shower cutting, I'm sure it was
shower cutting.
This podcast is brought to you by Whiskey, Two Pilots Distillery, and yeah, there might be some slurring going on, but there'll be some shit talking too. No one ever thought about that shower curtain. They saw your ass in a bikini, and they was like, you know what?
What are they asking about it?
That's a nice shower curtain.
What are they asking about it?
Because they ain't gonna ask you about your fucking britches you got on.
But I would let them know.
I mean, you give them more information than they need. That's on you.
Right.
They might have started off being just like, you know,
listen,
what?
I'm
I want to go
I'm
get that shower.
I'm dirty minded. So when somebody comments something, I'm like, damn. They're trying to get it. They're trying to get this number.
I'm speaking for the tribe of men here. You cannot do that to us. We see ball, we hit ball.
Don't ball, we won't catch the ball.
That's right. Don't throw them in the ball. All of a sudden, if you're fucking lobbing, you know, softballs up here at me, I'm going to try to knock the fuck out of it.
Right.
I'm going to
have blue balls
sometimes. See, there you go. Don't try. That's why I don't like women. It's not fair. It's why I love women is the fucking problem. I definitely love women. But that's why I don't go to strip clubs. I love strippers. Because I love to hustle and everything. I don't go to strip clubs. I'm not playing for blue balls.
Don't throw your money out on some bitch. Like, come on. Man, you made this money.
First of all, I have to take anybody to dinner to get laid. I might as well take a random girl to dinner off of Tinder. It'll be the same thing I spent on a stripper. Exactly. Except then I get laid.
That's true.
Hey, you have a cooler full of beer in the back. You ain't going to pay for that extra shit.
No.
Exactly. Nice. You can save money.
But I will say this. Whenever girls go out, we don't expect to pay for anything.
She literally told me yesterday.
She said,
I go to the bar when we do events with $2 in my pocket. She said, I get fucked up, I get drunk, and I walk out one morning and I walked in.
I'll go in with $2. Niggas be throwing money at me.
Yeah.
Okay, go buy you a drink. Put the shit in my pocket, and they'll still go buy me a drink.
But
you're stupid.
Men are stupid.
You're stupid.
We have monkey brain. We can't help it.
Well, damn, okay, I'm going to put this money in my pocket, but you can still buy me and my girls a drink.
Yeah. Never in my life.
I walk out with money in my pocket and drunk as fuck.
And y'all always like bitching about equal rights. We can't do that.
Like, shit, me? You better play your cards right.
What? I ain't never been to a bar in my life and been looking so good. And a lot of girls like, you know what? I'm going to get him fucked up and I'm sucking that dick later.
You going to the wrong one too. I be ready to spoil my nigga. Like, damn, hey, I like you. Let me buy you a drink. That's how I flirt.
Yeah, but the guy ain't buying you just a drink.
But you listen, but let me tell you. Does it turn you on when a woman comes to you and says, hey, let me buy you a drink. Let me buy us a drink.
I mean, it'll turn me off. But,
does anything turn you off?
A good bit.
A man likes that when a woman can say, hey, let me buy us a drink.
Well, we like independent women.
Exactly.
But grown-ass men like paying.
Listen,
I will not let a woman
that has literally been on her own since she was seven, y'all. I'm independent. I've worked
There's
since
nothing
I was 14.
Wrong with that.
I've worked since I was 14 years old.
But that's what drew me to you. Like, you're a fucking hustler. It's obviously, exactly. And I don't mean hustler in a bad way. You're a fucking hustler in the way.
I got to make money.
Exactly.
I got to make a living.
Exactly. I've used the example. We had to, for anybody who doesn't know this and doesn't follow us on social media, there's a girl that we hired that did not show the fuck back up. I hired her because she was a stripper for 8 years. And it wasn't because she was a stripper and she was attractive. It was because if I was a woman and I didn't have a lot going for me, I'd be a fucking stripper. If you tell me I can go work one day out of the week and take care of my youngins and my family, I'm shaking that ass.
Thank you.
I am shaking, and I respect the fuck out of that.
Yeah, even now,
if I had long dong, I'm going to be male stripper. And I'm sorry, I'm slapping fucking shaking cheeks left and right. But the good Lord knew not to give me no big old pecker. He knew. He knew Josh would be a stripper. He'd have AIDS. He just wouldn't be a good
individual.
He knew
you wouldn't act right.
He didn't get me to act right.
Then what?
He said he's funny as fuck, though. That's all that matters. No, but no, like that. I respect that about you.
Yeah.
I respect that about you. Also, something I really, really respect is the two you haven't heard a lot from yet is Taylor. Taylor's an EMT, firefighter. Her husband's a veteran. And Lacey, who is fucking weird as hell. And I absolutely, I connect better with Lacey than y'all. Because
well,
I do.
I do
because I'm fucking weird.
I am weird. We're all weird in our own way, though.
But that's perfect. That's why you're here. That's why all of us are
here.
We're all different. But I don't know if I want to hear from y'all first. I want to hear from Taylor first. Taylor, you go ahead. Tell them about you. Tell them about your husband, your life, and all that good shit. And, I think we kind of already covered that, but there's a lot to you. She does a lot of boudoir pictures. One reason I really like you is because of body positivity. I like how you empower yourself and other women with the stuff that you post on social media. It's one reason why I wanted you here.
Well, thank you very much. I work really hard to show off body positivity, and it's because it's something that means a lot to me. I've spent most of my life, honestly, dating people that made me feel like crap about my body, and I hated it.
Same.
And this past year, or really this past year and a half, I made a lot of changes about that. About a year ago now, I had breast surgery done. A lot of people close to me know that, but most women wouldn't opt for a breast reduction, but that's exactly what I did. I was very unevenly proportioned, and I went in to see a plastic surgeon and had a breast reduction done, and it is quite literally the best thing I've ever done for myself. I was struggling really bad with depression and anxiety before that I didn't even know was related to any kind of body positivity. But once
body
I had...
Body dysmorphia is a bitch.
Yes.
It's
and
a
it's
bitch.
Something that I didn't understand.
You wanted to be comfortable with yourself.
Yes.
You wanted to be happy with yourself.
And I was on depression medicine, and I had to stop taking it because I went in for surgery. I had to stop cold turkey for a week to have my surgery done. And after the surgery, I never went back on it. I just didn't need it. I felt better about myself, about my life, and just all around more confident. And after that, I still had really bad scarring from the surgery, but I honestly love the scars, and I scheduled a photo shoot with one of my best friends who happens to be a photographer, and I did a boudoir shoot and a semi-nude photo shoot, and they are my favorite pictures that I've ever taken, and I am not shy about posting them or sharing them because I think more people should be more confident in their bodies.
And you shouldn't be, because everybody is built different.
We all have insecurities.
We do. But, like, I know with myself, I could eat right every day of the year. I could work out 5 times a day, and I don't look like the fucking rock. Beauty is your concept of beauty. Now, like, because of the fucking media and all that bullshit, like, everybody thinks, like, you got a big tits, fat ass, skinny waist.
Yes.
That ain't beauty.
And
that ain't,
you see yourself
in
the mirror.
It is the confidence that when you see yourself, and you're like, you know, I'm a bad bitch.
Yes. Like, and I feel that way now, and I don't want to sound conceited or anything, but sometimes I don't care if I do count
conceited.
Sound conceited because I worked hard to feel this way, and I am not knocking anyone who wants a bigger chest or who goes in and gets implants, but I wanted the women that choose to have a smaller chest or choose to change that part about themselves to feel confident also, because I had so much backlash, especially from men in my life, when I decided I wanted a smaller chest size.
Because
they
stupid.
Said I literally just disrespected what God gave me, and that was the most sexist thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's bullshit.
Well, you've only been working for me like a week now, so you'll hear a lot more sexist things.
That comment might not hold up. I am a professional at sexist comments.
One of the things that me and Taylor have known each other for a while that led me to Taylor is like 5 years ago, I used to be like 330 pounds. And I was with somebody, engaged at the time. I got called fat and unattractive, and I got cheated on, got left. And when I did, it like lit a fucking fire under my ass. I was like, you know what? Fuck this bitch. I'm not ever going to feel insecure about myself again. I already had went through like a lot of the mental health issues. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do me. I grew my beard out. I lost, like, right now I'm like at 110 pounds I've lost. And I was like, fuck this. Nobody's going to define me feeling confident about myself. I'm not going to put my happiness and my confidence in somebody else's hands. And I commend you for saying, if I don't, it, whatever your chest size was, like, fuck them. This is what I want it to be. This is what I want it to be to where I feel beautiful about myself. And that is body positivity, and that is something that we are always going to push here at Raising Gray Studios, is whether you're different, you flat as a fucking board, or you look like a damn Coke bottle when you walk in this door, you're beautiful.
Absolutely.
You're beautiful.
The biggest insecurity people have with themselves is their body.
Yes.
And so when you change it for yourself,
And that's the only reason you should change it.
It is.
Exactly. It's for yourself.
And
fuck
health
what everybody
reasons.
Else, fuck what everybody else has to say.
Everyone
as
always
long
asks
as you're
me.
Happy, fuck them.
Everyone asked me if it was for health reasons, and I'm not going to lie and say it didn't play a part in there, because with me being on the fire department, I genuinely felt uncomfortable putting my own fire gear on. We were training in the middle of the summer, and I'm pretty small everywhere else. I'm just very big-chested, and I hated putting my gear on. I hated doing my job that I was passionate about. And one day I remember just going home and going to my mom and just crying. And I'm like, I feel uncomfortable in my own body and I've had enough. And it's the best decision I ever made for myself. And did I do it for health reasons? Maybe later on down the line. But on the inside, I did it for me. And I never knew that it would fix my mental health as much as it did. But I feel so much better about myself now. And it's helped me, you know, branch out and come out of my shell more and post about my body positivity. And it played a big part in how I met my husband and how I was confident enough to, you know, put myself back out there after a failed engagement and, you know, being so traumatized from that.
Well, that's one thing that I will always, always, whether you work for me or you're listening to me, body positivity is something we're always going to push, because body dysmorphia, and that's what you're talking about, looking in the mirror and knowing, or not knowing, but thinking that you don't feel as beautiful as the girl next to you. It's a concept of our society. It's not us. You are just as beautiful as the next person next to you. There is somebody going to see you one day, and they're going to be, you know what? That is the most beautiful woman I've ever saw in my life. Mm-hmm. It does not matter what you look like. There are people, and dear Lord, bless you, there are people ugly as damn sin out there. And they are with somebody that thinks that they are beautiful, and they think that they are beautiful.
And love them.
And
they
are happy as hell. So beauty is defined, unfortunately, in our society by the media, by what you see on TV and all this bullshit. But it's not. It's what's in your head. It's what's in your heart. It's what the person next to you sees.
The confidence.
And confidence is beautiful. That is.
Oh, yeah.
That's it for me. If you're not confident, I don't care how attractive you are, a man, woman, anything. If you're not confident, I'm not attracted to you.
You shouldn't be. Because if you don't believe in yourself, why should that person believe in you?
Exactly. But if you walk in somewhere knowing, I am. Just thinking, I am the baddest bitch in here.
Because I am.
But you are. Whether you know it or not, when you walk into that bar, or you walk into Walmart, or wherever, there's somebody that is going to see you in there the way you ought to see yourself. And be like, that's the baddest bitch in here.
And I aim to be that every day. Even if no one else thinks it about me, I think it about myself every single day that I wake up.
And that's the way it should be. That's exactly the way it should be.
I have a question.
Yes.
You know, you said you decided to get your chest down a little bit.
Yes.
Was you with your husband before you did that?
No, I was not. I was actually dating someone that I was on the fire department with, but it was nothing serious. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to listen to a man's opinion at all when it came to my chest surgery. But my plastic surgeon actually asked me, you know, if it was going to sway my opinion, if I was dating someone, or if I ever wanted to breastfeed children, or anything like that. And, you know, that bothered me, because that, along with other things, you know, women don't get to make a lot of decisions about their body medically. But I was asked multiple times, you know, if I needed a man's opinion, or how my future husband would feel about it.
Right.
And I didn't know my husband now at the time, but quite honestly, I didn't give a crap what he thought about it.
Was your doctor a male?
Yes, my doctor was a male.
All right, because you just said something that I don't understand. And for all the male people listening to us right now, I want you to kind of elaborate, because I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm going to learn in the moment. when you just said that you don't have a choice sometimes about your body, I don't get that. Okay. I don't understand that.
I know this goes a lot deeper than what I'm going to say, but I was speaking more along the lines of another surgery procedure that I had a year ago. It was a surgery on my ovaries. I have some fertility issues. And because I was unmarried and under the age of 25 with no kids, I am not able to make certain decisions about moving forward, needing kids, or for fertility treatments or anything. I was told by multiple fertility specialists that I would need to be married first, need to be older. You know, I would have to have a husband's consent before I went forward with, you know, fertility treatments. And I know.
Why does that matter?
Exactly. And it may not be the same everywhere, but the facilities I talked to, it mattered and it hurt. So
as a man, I don't get that. Like, I am one of those that it's your body.
Yes.
I can't tell you what the fuck to do with it. You're not fixing to tell me what to do with mine. So would it have mattered if you'd have, and I'm not throwing this out there to be weird, George, but if you'd have been a lesbian, would they have asked you the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, they would have.
Yes.
And you would have still had to have a man's consent?
Yes.
Wow.
I've tried to do a lot of research on it, and it's not the same everywhere. It's really not.
Where was that in Georgia?
It is in Georgia, okay. Yes. I mean, honestly, it's more of a conservative South.
Was it Savannah?
Thing. Yeah. No, it was not. But I've discussed it a lot. I've actually tried to read up on it, and you'd be surprised how many people can't move forward with fertility treatments because they're unmarried. Yeah. Like, why do I have to be
is
married?
So is it like a cutoff age, though? Because how old are you?
I am 24 right now.
You're 24. So is there an age to where you can... Like I said, always try to see from both sides. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Are they telling you that because you're still young that you ought to wait until you're engaged or married to make that decision?
They didn't mention my age.
Is that why they're asking, or are they saying just because you're a woman?
They did not mention my age whatsoever. The vibe that I got, it was more along the lines of, why would they help me get pregnant and put a child into a single-parent household if I wasn't planning on being with a partner or getting married? But at the time I went through the fertility questioning, I wasn't dating. But I have been fighting my infertility issues since I was 17. I was told then I needed a full hysterectomy, and it's something that I fought for. And, you know, I've been told from that aspect that I was running out of time. But when I looked into fertility options, I kept hitting a wall because I was unmarried. And I don't see how that mattered if I could take care of a child.
Honestly, as a man, that if... But you're married now.
Yes.
But if you were not, and I was to get in a relationship with you, I still don't understand why that's your body. Like, yep. It's your body. That's your decision.
Absolutely.
It's either you go forward with it, and if the man doesn't like you because of that,
then
well, more than likely,
rocks.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Like,
my question is, how can people get an abortion on their own but can't be a mother on their own?
Thank you.
For real, though.
Thank you. That's why I stood up.
I don't understand.
Abortion is something that I usually don't like to speak about because of my religious beliefs and because I've not done very much research on it because I, flat out, I don't believe in abortions because
it's a heartbeat. It's
I can't, I struggle to get pregnant. Me and my husband have been trying for 4 months now, almost the whole 5 months we've been together, and I mean, we keep hitting a brick wall. I struggle to get pregnant. I've always wanted to be a mother, and the concept of abortion is something that I will never get behind because of that.
The people who believe in abortion are the people that don't really give a shit about being a parent.
Exactly.
My thing is, it's like, it's still your body, your choice.
It's your whole
I will always say that. But you really kind of got to be somebody out there that if you... All right, so if I go to a bank and I rob that bank, I know there's a chance that I'm either going to get rich or I'm going to go to prison, right?
Yes.
All right, when I have sex with you, I know there's a chance that either I'm going to have a really good time and get you pregnant, or I'm going to have a really good time and get away scot-free.
Yeah.
So you know the stipulation before you go in. One thing that I will always say about it is, if you've ever been violated,
yes,
if you're a woman and you've ever been violated,
understand that.
That is a completely different...
I believe
in the good Lord, and I'm a Christian. I always say that. I'm not an example setter. But if you did not plan on having a child with that person because they took advantage of you or raped you or whatever it
then
was...
Then don't jump into bed with them.
Then that's a whole different story.
Exactly.
Like, that's a whole different story. Like, there's... I know what a lot of people are going to say. They're going to say, well, that baby could have cured cancer. That baby could have been the person who brought world peace.
Your miracle made you this.
But that woman has to look at that child every single day and knows... what happened to her.
Yeah, and think of her. That
woman has to look at that child every day. Now, do I still agree with it? No.
I don't either. But I understand.
But I don't have ovaries.
Yeah.
I'm not a woman.
I
will never, ever put myself in a situation where I will tell a woman what to do with her body. I will respectfully say that I don't believe in it, that there's something positive could come out of a negative situation. But if you know that you can't move on from that situation, let's be real. Y'all are the most pettiest creatures that good Lord ever created.
Absolutely.
The most savage creatures. The most savage, badass creatures that the good Lord ever created was a woman.
We're going to make her life miserable,
and if you know that that child was something that should not be here.
Created the way it was created.
That woman's going to always know that. I don't think you'll ever not love the child. But you're always going to have that in your head.
And you're going
to
hurt.
And I can understand that. Yeah. That's why I try not to get involved in the abortion topic because of my own personal experience. It is so hard for me to, because I've met people that have great arguments. I've met people from all different walks of life that have different beliefs. Some people in my own family, and it's just something we don't talk about because everyone's walk is different. And the reason I can't get behind it is because I already struggled to get pregnant. And there are so many people out there killing children that I would literally die to have right now, that me and my husband have been trying so hard for. And looking back now, it's all
in due time, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking back now, a year ago, when I sat in the doctor's office looking at fertility options, I was single. I wasn't dating anybody. I thought that was it for me. And, I mean, I was at a job that I wasn't super happy about, and I didn't really know what to do. I was at a crossroads, but something inside me told me not to go through with pursuing the fertility medicine then, that it was not the right time. I soon after that quit my job at, you know, a pretty big insurance company and went back to EMT school. And that's something I've always wanted to do.
By the way, we cannot mention those insurance
places. That's why I didn't say it's insurance too.
If you would like your insurance company mentioned on this podcast, you can pay for it.
You can contact me for advertising.
There you go. You can contact Ms. Taylor.
Yes. So after that, I left that company. I went into EMT school. I went through the breast surgery. I overcame my depression for the most part. I do still struggle a lot. And then I met my husband shortly after that, and we have only been together, knowing each other, for 5 months total. And we've been married for 2.5 weeks. We got married at the courthouse because we're actually having a legit wedding ceremony this coming up Sunday on October 11th. And looking back now, I'm glad I didn't pursue the fertility treatments then, because I met my husband,
due time. That's my thing with a lot of things.
God has a plan, even if I couldn't see it. And I met the person I'm supposed to be with, and we're trying now. And yes, we may be struggling trying to get pregnant, but it's God has a plan. And I got tired of trying to play God, even in my own life.
Well, even if, and I don't know who all in here is, because one thing, when I didn't ask y'all when I hired you, your religious beliefs, none of my business. One of my best friends is an atheist, and I love her. She's complete opposite of me, and I've grown to love people that are different than me. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love them. If they respect me, I respect them. But with the playing God thing, it's where if you don't believe in what she just said about playing God, it's the universe's time. And I commend you for being that way and having that outlook on it, because with my beliefs, it'll happen for you when it's supposed to happen.
Yes.
All right, my daughter was literally born 10 months after my suicide attempt. Me and her mother have been together for a little while. We've been off and on. And I wasn't ready for a kid. I never, ever would have thought at the time I was ready for a child. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, at the lowest point of my life, where I was, the only reason why I'm still here is because my dumbass didn't know the right pills to take. And I took 800 milligram ibuprofen. My liver will never, ever work right again.
I feel that.
But I'm here because I was stupid. Like, I didn't know what I was battling with, depression and everything. I had no idea about it. I had to learn afterwards what was wrong with me. And the good Lord knew that I needed something to keep me here, that I had a purpose. So just like the way you and your husband are going through shit now, y'all have a purpose. You might not know what that purpose is, but in my mind, that is the beautiful thing about having faith.
Yes.
Regardless whether it's faith in the good Lord or faith in the universe, it's a plan. Our books are already wrote. We have different paths we can take in our book. And if I would have chose after my suicide attempt to keep trying to do it and off myself. I would not have been rewarded with my child.
Yes, absolutely.
My child, and like, that's why her name, and everyone listening is going to get to learn it, her name's Gracie, because she's my saving grace.
And I think that was my fix.
Yep. Like, I knew that I was fucking up. I knew that I wasn't the person I was supposed to be. The good Lord knew that my dumb ass wasn't what I was supposed to be and I was living wrong. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to send your dumb ass down a reminder.
My daughter.
Like, he said to me, and this is where my faith comes from, is, you know what? You've messed up a lot. You're not living the way you're supposed to. But I'm going to give you a reminder every day why to want more, why to do more, why to be there. And for the ones of us in this room that have kids, we all know that story. Because they've got that story. You're going to have that story. If it's in a good... I just came off of radio, right? Mm-hmm. The woman that I work with on radio, same story with her. She had to have a hysterectomy. And I had to explain to her all the time that you can be a mother without being a mother. Now, will you ever know what we have? Don't know. That's in all due time. But if not, you can go to charity work. You can. There's another woman that I work with, or work with, that she can't have kids either, but she dedicates her life to charity work and helping children. Like, so I might be the father to one, but y'all have the option that you, if you're not there yet, to be a mother and father to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want, like, a lot of people to know. Infertility is a bitch.
It is.
It's a fucking...
And it's something no one talks about. Everyone is uncomfortable talking about it.
There is, because, you know what? Because we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's like, even then, me working in radio, I was scared to say anything about my relationship with my child because I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
And usually stuff like that, speaking for myself, that doesn't hurt our feelings. I love hearing my friends' children's stories. My very best friend, Amber... She got pregnant right after I left my first engagement. And to the point where she got to where she wouldn't talk to me about her pregnancy because I was hurting and I was struggling with not being able to, you know, hold an engagement together or have a child like I wanted. And I had to have that conversation with her that no matter what I'm going through in my life, those daily text updates on her pregnancy and my soon-to-be nephew kept me going those days.
Yeah, but you're a strong-ass woman. There's a lot that aren't like that. A lot that are going to see, like, somebody else posting, because this is, once again, I'm fixing to get cussed out by four women that's sitting in front of me right now. But y'all are petty creatures. Sometimes you think that somebody posted something just to hurt your feelings, and they had no intentions of hurting your feelings whatsoever.
I see pregnancy announcements now that hurt? Absolutely. Especially since I have been actively trying.
But do you think that they did it to hurt your feelings?
No, I don't. My sister, my half-sister, just had her second baby. And my cousin is pregnant. And my other cousin just had her third baby. And could I have taken that to heart, saying, you know, everyone else in my family is having kids and taking that slot away from me? I could have, but... I didn't. And I know some people out there don't feel that way, but I was more happy to have those babies brought into my life because even if I never have my own biologically, I will get those moments with those babies in my life because their family members are like my sisters. And pregnancy announcements hurt me. Absolutely, they do. Even to this day, I'll get on my Facebook and scroll down the timeline. Everyone is pregnant. And I am so happy for them. I'll be the first one to congratulate them.
It's been 2020, though, and nobody's had anything else to do.
That's true. But, I mean, I still feel that little sting on the inside. Like, hey, when is it my turn? When do I get to make that announcement?
Streets.
But I do also have to realize that it's not my time. And this year, they may get their little blessing in baby form, but I got mine in a different form. Like, your daughter saved you. I feel the same way about my husband. I was spiraling completely out of control and see, battling that, all kinds of mental
that's
health.
That's the beautiful thing, though. You realize, though, that people who are open-minded and don't play the victim.
All of us.
And don't play the victim. Now, you can play the victim and your shit all you want to, and you'll never see the benefits. If you'd have been pregnant already and you wouldn't have dealt with infertility, you'd have never met your husband.
I wouldn't have. And I am thankful
for
that every day.
That's your blessing. That's all of us. So many people, because you're not receiving the blessing that you want at the time.
You think it's not a blessing.
You don't receive the blessing. Like, y'all, I got fired 3 weeks ago I have my own studio and everything now. I get to work with 4 or 5 great individuals. I would have known y'all. The only person that I knew Taylor, and I knew Olivia from getting drunk at a bar and hitting on her. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God gives you what you need, even though it's not what you want at the time.
That's why I told y'all, this is family. This is family.
All our families.
Speaking of family, we got one right here. She's not going to want to talk much. I'm just going to tell you, she's weird. I fucking love her because she's weird. She's from
Oregon.
We all
love her. Together now,
she doesn't know it yet. She doesn't know it yet. But you're family now. Like, you're from Oregon. You don't know a lot of folks down here. And you're meeting maybe the worst people, best people.
We tend to attract those kinds of people.
We are a train wreck.
I love one of my favorite terms, and I know I've told y'all all, is trauma bonding. That's what this is. Whether you realize it or not, I don't know what shit you've been through, but I'll guarantee you until 20 minutes ago, you know what shit she's been through.
That's true.
Or either one of them.
That's true.
Your shit ain't no more than our shit. Everybody has their own shit.
And
that is what trauma, exactly. Everybody's shit's different. That's what trauma bonding is. So we got to know, with like you coming down from Oregon and all that good shit, you got to spill some stuff now because everybody else putting their heart out on the table. We got to hear Lacey's heart.
Yeah, I teared up a little bit, so it's your turn.
But you should have.
I always teared up with you because I had 3 miscarriages, and they kept telling me I would never have kids.
Lacey, it's your turn.
Lacey's a kid, though. Lacey don't have to
go. I'm not a kid.
She's 20.
You're still growing. Oh, my gosh. You're not because you have, like,
my mom has not worked since I was 17. I picked up and I started working. I went to an online high school so that way I could work. I've been handling my shit, handling my brother and sister's shit, making sure that they had their stuff for school, making sure they had all their shit. Like, I'm not a child. I might be 20.
Okay, well, you changed my mind.
I might be 20, but I'm not a fucking child.
You've done more shit. You've done more shit.
I bought a house at 18.
You've done more shit now.
Yes.
I bought a house at 18.
You're the child
for my mom.
Out of us, but I don't know. You might be more of an adult than I am.
You are more of an adult than I am.
Yeah.
I bought a house when I was 18 so that way my mom could be somewhere where she was happy and we didn't have to worry about, like, none of our family bullshit because the rest of our family, like, we're the black sheep out of our family. They're all fucking stupid.
Black sheep are always my favorite.
For real, though. Hey,
that's what, there's not,
fun.
There's no, not one like, here that's not.
The
I
rest
hired
of,
y'all because
exactly.
you're black
this
sheep.
This is a herd of black sheep.
Yeah. The rest of our family is, like, super snobby and, like, doesn't ever fucking help us on anything. They're like, oh, my God. Like, I had a job out there in Oregon for, like, 6 months, and I left my mom and the kids here, and I was supporting them. And they were like, your mom has brainwashed you. You're fucking stupid for doing all this. And I was like, you're not fucking helping us. What am I supposed to do? You're not going to sit there and help my mom get a fucking job? No. You're not going to sit there. You're not going to help the kids with schoolwork? No. They're fucking calling me after I get off work to help them with their math shit.
So you're fucking
what the fuck?
Fucking matter.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Fuck,
it's fucking stupid. I can't stand
that
shit.
I'm the one fucking doing this shit. You don't know our situation, motherfucker. Get the fuck out.
I literally, I love
I
you.
I can't stand
that
shit.
So I'm telling you.
I love
when
you.
She came in,
I love
when
you.
When she came in out of every single one of y'all. And for those who don't know, I interviewed like 20 people. Okay, I interviewed like 20 ladies that fit the description of who I was hiring. She walked in my office, or in the studio, and I told her, literally looking her in her face, in 5 minutes of her talk, I said, "Darling, you're not a sales rep."
Hell no.
I tried to be real because we've all been to job interviews.
All real.
We've all been to job interviews, and they just blew smoke up our ass.
I
and
fucking
we waited,
hate that
we
shit.
We waited for that fucking phone call, and we never got it. We're all misfits and everything. She came in there, and I'm telling you, I told her, I said, "You're not a sales rep."
But she's creative.
But then she started talking to me after the interview, and she told me about her being artsy. Out of every one of you girls that came and interviewed, she's the only one that used the word art. Only one that used the word art. And when she did, we talked a little bit more. We got into it. I didn't need to hire a graphic artist yet.
This is true.
I told
she
her.
She made you want to.
That's why I had no choice.
She made she's awesome.
She
got, she's amazing. I love her. She's my sister.
She got put on my doorstep for a reason.
Exactly.
She is part of all of our lives now for a reason.
We're a family.
And I told y'all that this is a family. We might be a fucked up family. She just said it. A family
We're
of black
together.
Sheep.
We're
a family of
together.
Black sheep.
Look,
we got our own fucking herd now.
The black is my favorite color.
For real. Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I'm a fan of the colored girls. But just saying, I'm just saying, I like a little chocolate milk every once in a while.
Every now and then, one little.
Right, they season their food. Y'all bitches got to learn that.
You got
no, you no, you Mexican. That don't count. Y'all be putting jalapenos so in
you,
every.
You have no taste, so calm down.
First of all, I got sold on super bad. I'm like 7/8 African American anyway.
And I got all the spice and all that.
Ooh. Yeah, but that 1/8 is my credit score.
You should have said all the spice and all the nice.
No,
no, she ain't nice.
They're not nice.
But
though.
No, but like,
I'm gonna say something else.
But with her, she literally, that's what I loved about all of y'all. Is
different.
It's different.
A different story.
Like, we all, at one point in time, we all needed a home. At 20 years old, I was in her position. Like, I didn't own my own house, none of that shit. I didn't move from a whole nother side of the country to here. But I was
all over the place.
I was in a very lost state. At 20 years old, very fucking lost. And I'll guarantee you that one was the same way. And one of the most beautiful things in this life is when you find out that there's other people just as fucked up as you are. I told every one of y'all, I'm not hiring or want to be around saints. I don't want to be around people that have a perfect life. You're not entertaining.
A silver spoon in your mouth, we don't connect.
No, you're a good. You might be a good person. You might be a good person. But you know what? No. I like trauma bonding. I like people that are just as fucked up as I am, because 99% of the people that are listening to us right now have had fucked up experiences. And you and you and you and you and me are all examples how you don't let it fucking beat you down. It might suck. It might fucking break your spirit at the time, but you fucking rebuild. You build on that fucking shattered ground, and you make yourself better. And that's what this is. That's why we are what we are. And we're going to only fucking get better.
I use all the pain as like fuel.
You should. But that's what it is. When I got called fat and unattractive and got cheated on and everything, and I was a big motherfucker. Now, I'm telling you, I waddled everywhere I walked. Like, if there was a buff, I had it, missed that motherfucker.
Okay, people.
I was a big boy. And I'm telling you.
I was a bully.
Every time I went to the gym, and I don't go no more because, I'm comfortable.
Let's go together.
No, absolutely not. Everything hurts now. I'm old, fucking bone. But every time I would go to the gym, I would think about that comment, fat and unattractive and getting cheated on.
Yeah.
Every single fucking time I walked in that gym, and I would do a mile. And I'm like, you know what? I got called that. I'm doing a mile and a half. Like, I would push.
It was motivation.
It was. That's what she just said. It was fucking more gas in my tank to keep me fucking going and to make me me. Now, me, like, 6 years ago, wants to go back and kick my ass and tell myself to quit being sorry for myself.
You'll be mad at yourself in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Now
you'd hate yourself.
Now I can come around y'all. I can go anywhere. And you said it earlier. When you walk into a room, whether anybody else sees it or not, you're the baddest motherfucker in the room, because that's how you ought to feel.
Absolutely. Exactly.
That's every how day. Every one of us, when we walk into a room, it does not matter. You can walk in this motherfucker in your PJs.
And I do.
And with your Walmart having ass feet because you ain't got no shoes on. I saw you walk across the park a lot earlier. Like,
you trashy motherfucker.
I am from the country. We don't wear shoes.
But you got to on fucking concrete.
No, I do not.
Next to a fucking hospital where there's needles allowed to be laid around.
Look, but I work in a hospital. I'm not worried about no needles.
The point is, wherever you go.
You can pull any nigga on your worst day.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And she said it way different than I would have. But yeah, you can pull any some bitch on your worst day.
I could.
The thing is you have to be confident. If you don't believe in yourself and you're not confident, you don't think you're the baddest motherfucker in the world.
Everybody's going to see that. Who's going to think you're the baddest motherfucker in the world?
Yourself.
It's about you. And that's what everything that we're going to do here at Raising Grace, and everything I've done on social media before this, is promoting you being a bad motherfucker. You just don't know it yet. Like, I don't care if you're 400 pounds or if you're 110 tight. Like, you're a bad motherfucker. There's a lot of girls in this world and men that some of us are going to look at and be like, they're not that attractive. They married. I ain't married. They found somebody who wants to spend the rest of life with them.
Speak for yourself.
I used to look at other people's marriages like that. I really did. I was like, why is a female more unattractive than me, married and happy and with their life, until I had to stop looking at it like that.
I would say they did weirder shit than
y'all
you.
Y'all must be ready for...
I'm not throwing you into that category.
I'm into some pretty weird shit.
Exactly. But y'all must be ready for some more baby daddy.
With all that being said, though, Taylor, like, there's just some people out there that have been married before that have went through, like, self-confidence issues while they were fucking married, right? So, we got two in here, and if we're going to talk about things like that, I want to hear from them, too, that have been married. So, Tori, I know you've been married. Oh, have you been married?
I was engaged.
Engaged. There you go. We've got one that has been married. And I want to know, and I don't mean to bring up anything hard because I don't know their relationship. We heard the funny story earlier about the baby daddy. But what caused you to where you did not want to be in the situation you were with anymore?
Well, I mean, it really all started with, like, the cheating and, like, you know, it all goes back to what you said with the body. I mean, literally, he called me lazy, fat, every name in the book, ugly, whore, slut, everything. So it all goes back to that, which, like, makes a woman literally feel like she's a crumb of the earth. I mean, it's like you could be the most beautiful woman in the world. You could literally be like a Carrie Underwood, but literally feel like a Britney Spears back in 2002.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know. I still would have hit it balling.
2006.
Most things I do are. But, no, like, I understand what you mean. Right. They made you feel insignificant.
Exactly.
And I don't know any of y'all stories, but we've all done shit we're not proud of. But I would imagine when someone makes you feel that way, because I went through it, when someone tells you, oh, you're not good enough, but then the next person comes along and is like, damn, you're good looking. You're beautiful. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to pay them a little bit of attention because it builds up your self-esteem.
Right.
When somebody tells you you're not good enough, that it's where it's not that you need to hear it from somebody else, but when you hear it from somebody else, your body and your mind can't help itself but pay that attention.
Right, and that's whenever it goes back to being able to be confident again and feel beautiful in your own skin. No matter what you have on, you can be wearing a trash bag, but you feel great.
So you feel great. And I imagine all y'all look great in trash bag. But
naked. I prefer naked.
Well, who the hell doesn't? But no, like with you, I was engaged, a very short engagement. One of the best mistakes I ever made because I'm not in it no more.
Right.
But like with you, okay, you seem like a super confident person.
I am because of, you know, my history. You know, my history is pretty bad. I've gotten beaten, sold, and raped my entire life.
Did you say sold?
Sold.
You're going to have to, if you feel comfortable with it, you're going to elaborate on that because I imagine there's somebody out there that just heard that and wants to know.
My mama was going through some shit whenever, of course, she had me when she was 21. I was her third kid. I was legit. She was 21 and I was her third fucking kid. But she wasn't able to raise us. Like, I remember her being out, leaving us in the house by ourselves. And I would be, to this day, I'm scared of the dark. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not scared of the dark. I'm scared of what's in the dark. Because her friend tried to hurt me. But when she did get us back, I was 7 years old. It was 2011 when the Twin Towers up? Is that what happened?
It was 01 when Twin Towers.
01. That was September. My daddy died in November on my sister's birthday. And I remember waking up that night and I was like, damn, what the fuck? Like, something ain't right. Like, I can't sleep. And we were in foster home. We were in foster home. There's six of us. And we're all separated except for me and my oldest sister. And I knew something was wrong. But,
it's all right. You're with family. If you want to share, you can. If you want us to change the subject, you can. It's on you.
My mama got, when I was in foster home, my
My daddy died when I was 7. We was in foster home. And when we were in foster home, we got back with my mama. And she gave me away. She gave all of us away. And I remember begging her that don't leave us with this woman, because I know I had this feeling about people, and I was like, don't leave us with this woman, because she's going to hurt us. I know she's going to hurt all of us. From 7 to 15, this woman, she beat the fuck out of me to where I was begging God to take my life. I didn't know what was going on. My brother and sisters would get in trouble, and I would take the blame for it.
You realize, though, because me and her have talked. Like, there's a lot of y'all don't get to hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. But me and her got to talk yesterday. We sat here, and I realized when I was talking to her, like, one of the things I absolutely love about people is that warrior spirit. And there's probably somebody out there crying right now. There's somebody upset. But let me tell you, that's a badass right there.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, if you think that you are tough, you don't fucking know tough until you've gone through that. And that's one thing I've told her from the very first time that she came in this office, that she had a story to tell. And
this lady, this lady, I swear to God, she had put poison in my food. She put poison in my food. And one time it backfired on her. She tried to throw hot grease on me, y'all. Hot fucking grease off the fucking stove. And she threw it back and it hit her fucking back. It hit her back instead of me.
That's a good Lord putting somebody in his place right there, darling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
She put poison in my motherfucking food. Like, bitch, like, why are you trying to kill a child?
Because they hate themselves. I mean, that's the point. They absolutely hate themselves.
This lady legit sold me to the Mexicans next door to our house. Next door to my motherfucking house, she sold me to this fucking neighbor. Her real grandkids. See, this lady that got me and my siblings, was my baby sister. So my mama has 6 kids. And the last one is from, like, a white guy. All 5 of us have the same daddy. But the last one is from a white guy, and he used to beat the fucking mama. I remember being on the front porch of my grandpa's house in lines. And the ambulance come pulling up, take my mama out on a stretcher. She had overdose on pills. But she had did that. Now I realize that she had did that because she was getting beat all her fucking... while she was with this man, you know? And I was like, man, I can't go through that shit. Like, I can't go through it. But we were back and forth. My mama just kept being with this guy just kept hurting her. I was like, why are you doing that? And he would hurt us, y'all. I swear, I was 7 years old, and my daddy had just died, and we got taken back away, back to foster home. My mama got us back. She would have us not even for a fucking month. She would fuck up again. She knew she was about to go to prison for embezzlement. She signed over,
her custodial rights.
Fucking rights. Custodial, and I remember her signing over a fucking deep freezer. I was sitting right there. I was nine. A lot has happened between 7 and 9. I was 9 years old, and I was trying to, Mama, please do not leave me with this woman. And this bitch fucking left me with this fucking woman. Like, I am your daughter. I am crying. I am at your fucking feet, bitch. Like, I'm at your fucking feet, and you let me be with this woman that sold me to the fucking Mexicans next fucking door, had your fucking nephews and your fucking grandchildren fucking beat the fuck out of me. This bitch would beat the fuck out of me. Could you put rat poisoning in my fucking food?
Like, you realize, though, and as fucked up as it sounds, that every one of us have to go through shit like that to be where you are now. The fact that you have dealt with that, you've never, ever, as long as I've known you, you've never played the victim on it.
I can't because I have to be stronger for everybody else.
Because you're a fucking warrior. Like, that's what the purpose.
I do this for my kids.
Because you're a fucking warrior.
I do this for my kids.
you are going to give your kids way better life than what you ever had to do. Like, all of y'all. Like, you are a bad
seven
motherfucker.
7 through 15, y'all. At 15, I finally brought this woman back. When I fought her back, she called the cops on me and got me for an unruly child. And they told me, they said, you better go to YDC or you better find your mama. I was in 8th grade in Tatum County. 8th fucking grade. And they said, you have a choice. They called me in the office and they said, you need to find your mama or you better go to YDC. I said, you go find my motherfucking mama. And she still ain't fucking been there.
Yeah, but let me ask something. Do you think you're stronger?
Because I'm a hell of a lot. I know that for a fact because I know what I've been through and I know what I can do.
Yeah. This is what the fucked up story about all that is. Is if you would not have gone through that shit, and by the way, nobody should ever have to go through that shit. No. There's not a single person in this world to have to deal with what you dealt with. But you know what? You a bad son of a bitch because of it.
And you're a great mother.
Yeah, you're a great mother, and you're gonna empower women and children across this world because of what you went through. The worst thing that we can ever do is be like ashamed of our scars.
You're not.
Wear them fucking scars. Whatever it
happily,
is.
Happily.
Wear those scars because you know what? They're a badge of fucking honor. How if you serve our military, you get an award or you get something when you've gone through some bad shit. Our life is the same way. We have emotional scars.
If y'all ever catch me doing this right here, I have a big scar. She threw a fucking pepper can at me, y'all. A fucking pepper can. I have a scar right here. And every now and then, like, I do it every day. I catch myself doing it every day, but I feel it every fucking single day. And I can't help it, but it's right here. And a fucking pepper can.
Because it's a reminder. I swear to you, what it is, and I would almost bet you, that every time you get feeling down or whatever.
I feel that scar.
You feel that scar. You know why?
I'm trying to calm myself down, really.
You
is
are,
what it
because
is.
Because you know you made it through that day. Every one of us has said at one point in time that this is the worst fucking day of our lives, right? Everybody that is in this room with us right now at one point in time said this is the worst fucking day. I don't know how I'm going to make it through that day.
That's why I'm so defensive. That's why I'm so defensive about the people that I surround myself with, especially my fucking kids. Like, I would torture a bitch in a fucking shed if I found out they ever hurt my child. I don't
Absolutely.
Give a fuck.
Right.
You will suffer for the rest of your life.
And you should.
In my shed, in the backyard, nobody will ever know who you are. Because I will make sure you fuck. Because there's a hell of a lot more to my story. You know, that's for another day. But it's just like, I am who I am because of the shit that I went through. And I have to be this person for my kids. And if I didn't have kids, I swear to God, y'all, I'd probably be some fucking junkie under a motherfucking bridge. Because at one point, I let it all get to me. Like, I put myself down. I was like, man, you ain't worth fuck. This bitch made you feel like you wasn't worth the fuck. She'd shave my fucking head. Somebody called me beautiful. She bleached my fucking clothes. Like, come on, bitch. I don't.
But the thing is, what you don't realize, and I've talked to every one of you about this, is what you are talking about right now. Help somebody. There's somebody out there that's like, you know what? I've been through some bad shit.
But what mama gives away their kids?
But that girl right there is fucking still pushing on.
I have to. It's a part of life.
That is why, besides for your appearance or whatever, that is why you're a beautiful soul.
And people could look at me and right think that there. I have never been through anything because I know how to hold myself together because I have a strong fucking mind. You know, some people don't have that. Some people don't have a strong mind. You have to remind them, like, listen, you control what's in your head.
But you know why?
That's right.
Because they're not strong. You are fucking strong. You're a warrior. You don't know it. That's the thing. There is everybody that is listening to us right now. They don't realize it. But you might be the general of fucking warriors.
My daddy because died when I was in foster home.
You've been through more shit than most of us can comprehend. We think our days are bad. You've been through some bad fucking days.
I have no idea.
But you're sitting here. You're alive.
I'm healthy.
You're healthy.
Beautiful.
You're beautiful. You youngins are took
two
care of.
Two beautiful fucking children. Blessed. Yeah. Blessed. That's all I care about right now is my two babies.
People have the choice. And that's what I love about your story. And you told me a little bit about it before now. I'm glad everybody got to hear it. But you're a fucking warrior poet, darling. You've been through some bullshit. Everywhere. You've got scars everywhere, but you know what? You're still the first motherfucker on the front lines. You're still the baddest bitch to throw bows.
And I will for any of you.
Yes, it's family. For any of you. I told every one of you. I didn't pick y'all for fucking by choice. This is family. I love your fucking scars. Most folks are going to look at us, and they're going to say, they're damaged.
The black sheep.
Yeah, they're the fucking black sheep. They're really damaged. We are the black sheep herd.
Yep.
But they're damaged. But you know what? We're real. Her letting her heart out, you, and you. Y'all don't know her, but Lacey. Lacey got fired the fuck up in here a while ago, and it's one of the proudest moments I've had in my life. Because it was the way you showed the fuck out. It was the way that I wanted to see that from you. I could tell from the moment I met you that you had that fucking fire in me. And it took being around people that had fire in them. Creativity drives creativity. You had to be you. Tori's going to be her. Olivia right now is over here. We want to get her a fucking box of Kleenex because she deserves it. And a whole lot more liquor. But it's okay. We're going to take care of her because she's family. But people have to let that shit out. One thing that if you're listening to us right now or you're in this room, if you don't let this shit out, it eats you alive.
It fucks you up.
I learned that shit up. Once in a while, you got to drink too much and fucking holler about it.
That's how I cope with shit. That's the wrong way to deal with, you know,
it's
trauma.
It's not the wrong way, but it's not the right way.
Exactly. But that's how and people like judge me. Oh yeah, you drink too much. But you don't know what I go through. I can't just talk to anybody and everybody.
But
I got to be comfortable with
the
you.
People that are listening right now, though, and people in this room. It's called trauma bonding. I'm gonna say it to y'all every fucking day. I do not want to listen to the saints. Yeah. I don't want to listen to people that's perfect because anybody that acts that way is a fucking liar. Every one of y'all. I've been through shit. Olivia's shit's bad. Your shit's bad. Your shit's bad. Your shit's bad. My shit's bad. But are we fucking standing here right now?
Yes. Together.
And we're here together. People want to roll with folks that makes them feel better about their life. You know what I want? I want to roll with people that makes me open up about my shit, get it off my chest, and fucking deal with it the right way. Cry, drink too much, let it out.
The ones that don't seem to fit in anywhere else.
That's what this is, though. There's people that's going to be listening to us right now that are without a doubt going to have our backs. They're going to have your backs. And like Olivia's the first one, besides for Miss Lacey a while ago, getting fucking ham and getting mad, that showed their heart. That is what Raising Grace stands for. Somewhere between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace. And I'll be real with y'all. I could not have picked a better group of people to work with. I know what's in y'all's hearts. You don't know that I know it yet. But y'all got put on my doorstep for a reason. You got put in the radios of people that are listening right now. And as we end this podcast for today, our first one we've done, I want to tell each one of you I'm proud of you. And y'all are amazing. You're all fucking stars. You just don't know it yet. Every one of y'all. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. And everything that we do going forward is a family. You guys are superstars. You're going to help people. You're going to reach people. Your story and your life experiences are for a reason. You can either play the victim or you can play the fucking hero in your own story. You can play the person that got beat down, that got locked in the fucking witch's castle, or you can play the knight in shining armor. That's up to you.
You know what I got for Christmas one time? A pair of Dollar General's fucking house shoes in a saltine box. I swear to God on everything I fucking love. That's what I got for Christmas one year. I hate holidays. I hate every fucking... my favorite holiday is fucking Thanksgiving because all I got to do is eat. I always celebrate for my kids.
I'm just going to tell you what we're going to have to do. What we're going to have to do is me and you are going to sit down one day and you're going to get your own podcast. You're going to get to tell your story the way that you wanted to tell it without anybody else opening up because you deserve it. This is self therapy. Anybody that's listening to us right now is self therapy.
Fucking house years in a sorting box. Who does that? Who does that? I was 10.
Don't worry. You don't ever have to worry about this film again. I just want to tell all y'all before we sign off, I love y'all. I appreciate it. I look forward to everybody getting to know y'all, me getting to know y'all. Olivia, you're the one who opened up the most. Thank you. I sure appreciate it. And for every one of y'all, anybody listening, Raising Grace Studios' first podcast, it might have been a little rocky, but I hope it hit somebody. I hope it hit somebody hard. This is us. This is real.
And we love y'all.
We love y'all. Y'all
love
tell
us.
And y'all remember, everybody here at the studio is somewhere between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.